Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Back here, Chase Willie and D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase McCabe, Willie Donick, Derek Mason, live at Titans training camp today as the Titans have wrapped up practice. Our training camp coverage is presented by USA Hemp Store and Parman Energy, your one-stop petroleum solution. Enjoy talking to Bud Dupree, and we were just talking about it more during the break. I mean, and you said it too, Willie. He looks excited and ready to go, feels good. And I think this year you're going to see the Bud Dupree that you saw his last year in Pittsburgh and we saw towards the end of last year for the Titans, but the guy that they signed and wanted on this team.
I have seen a lot of breakdowns of position groups and predictions that you start seeing at this time of the year a lot, and there is a lot of attention being paid on the front four, and Bud Dupree is a big part of it. The theory is he's going to be much more healthy. He's got a great supporting cast. He really thrived in Pittsburgh when he had the good supporting cast up front. You've got Simmons. You've got Autry, who got, I thought, huge grades, right, for the amount of money they paid him. They got a really big year. They think he's one of the more underrated players in the league in a lot of cases. And then you had Landry, who had the career year. So there's a lot invested there, but they've overhauled that in 2 years, and now you've got arguably one of the top two or three defensive lines in the league.
Yeah. Again, I said this yesterday. I don't know how and why Indianapolis allowed Danico Autry to get out of their building. I mean, the guy is a player. He's one of those guys that you need on your defensive line because, you know, he's going to do all the things right. He's going to make the little plays that may not show up, that people may not see from afar. But when you watch the film, you know, after the game or opposing coaches watch the film of that Titans defensive line, they start game planning and strategizing how to, you know, contain and block Danico Autry along with Jeffrey Simmons. So that was a great addition by the Tennessee Titans last year to bring him into the fold.
Yeah, no doubt about it. You'll hear from Jeffrey Simmons, Treylon Burks here in just a little bit as well, head coach Mike Vrabel too, as we're live at Titans training camp. But we started to talk about this before Bud came over. What exactly are the Tampa Bay Bucs going to get in Julio Jones? Are they going to get a guy that's not going to practice, like we pretty much saw here, that's going to play 10 games or whatever and not even finish the games? Or, you know, is he healthy? Does Tom get another weapon? I mean, he doesn't have to go there and be a number one receiver. He just has to go there and basically be what Antonio Brown was before he took his jersey off and went home.
Anybody like who thinks that they know, anybody thinks that they know what Julio Jones is going to look like in the next several weeks, several months. Good luck with the bet. You know, go to.
Sure.
I'm sure there's some over unders on how many games he's going to play. All of that stuff. I do wonder. And Derek, I think you know you may have a little more optimism than I do. I just think once you hit a certain point, health-wise, because that was such a big thing for him last year, can your body bounce back? I don't know. It just was so frustrating last year. I think it was even deceptive when you say he played 10 games for the Titans last year. Yeah, he played 10 games, but for four or five or six of those 10 games, he really was not a big factor. He wasn't feeling 100% out there. I'll give him credit. By the end of the year, he did look like he was – a factor out there. He did make some plays late in the season. And remember me, I was going out there saying, hey, he's going to make a key play or two for this team in the playoffs. And then, of course, it didn't really unfold. They didn't play enough. But he was showing signs that can happen. I'm sure that's what the Bucs are looking at. They're optimistic, saying, okay, by the end of the year, he looked a little bit closer to Julio Jones. And, you know, Tom Brady, I'm sure he's like, hey, I could make something like that work.
Listen, when it comes to Tom, anything is possible. Like Kevin Durant said, anything is possible.
Anything's possible if you're out there, but can
yes,
he be out there?
But here's the thing, and here's the problem that – here's what happened quickly with Tennessee, is that you bring a guy in, it didn't seem like everybody was on board that he should be the guy that you bring in, you know. So that right there just started everything off wrong. And then you're not practicing. You don't build that rapport with the quarterback, and then you expect to get out there and everything to just come together. And it doesn't. And then, it, you know, when Vrabel called him out, I knew right then and there, for a veteran guy that hasn't experienced being called out like that, I knew it wasn't going to go down good. I knew it wasn't going to be a good thing with him. Listen, he didn't come out and voice his opinion about it, but you can tell his demeanor after that. It was just completely off. I don't think he wanted to be here anymore. He was going to play it out, but I think he was looking, hey, listen, either they're going to release me next year or I'm going to ask to be released. That's how I felt. Now, here's the deal with Tampa. He's going to go in. He's going to be the third receiver or the fourth, more than likely the third receiver. Tom Brady knows how to keep the third receiver engaged. Sometimes quarterbacks don't know how to keep that veteran third guy engaged or that veteran fourth guy. Tom Brady is able to do it. He has a bunch of weapons, and he's always managed to keep everybody happy.
That is a great point.
This is, you may not catch one pass this game, but next game, you better be ready to catch five or six. That's Tom Brady, because he likes to look for guys within the office. He don't want to get – he has his number one guy. He doesn't want to get too – predictable with his number one guy. That's why you see guys across the board catching passes. One week is this guy. One week is another guy. It's going to be like that in Tampa with Julio Jones. He may have games where he catch one pass or none, but then I guarantee you he will have games where he catch five passes, six passes, even might be the leading receiver for that team. So when it comes to hell, I can probably go with Tom Brady and catch some passes. He'd keep me engaged.
Well, you know, that's a great point.
Y'all are around the same age.
Yeah, exactly. I'm about 5 years older than him, 6 years older than him. But, yeah, but Tom just has that ability to do that. Not many quarterbacks do or not many offensive coordinators have that ability. But with Tom Brady, it's not up to the offensive coordinator.
Now,
it's up to Tom to distribute the ball.
Think about how important that element is, especially when you talk about wide receivers. Like Antonio Brown, if there's ever a guy that you thought going in, okay, let's see how this works, you know. But he wasn't – I thought Tom Brady did a really good
job.
He
kept him engaged that first year.
Yes, and it wasn't like Brown was getting the ball 10 times a game. He had to adjust his role, but Brady did a really good job with that. So Jones – I think the Buccaneers' thinking is probably exactly what you're saying. Brady can make this work. Also, maybe Jones is now another year removed from being a superstar. Maybe he's wrapped his arms around being the secondary target a little bit more, where he still may have been in that superstar mode last year. So maybe it can work. I don't know. I'm skeptical. I just think the health is going to be the thing here.
Yeah.
If he stays on the field, there's no doubt in my mind. Everything you're saying is right.
Exactly.
I just wonder if the body will allow it to happen. He hasn't practiced in 2 years.
I want to hit on something.
He really hasn't. He hasn't practiced.
Yeah, you're right.
And and look, it's a low-risk, high-reward kind of thing if you're Tampa, because it's not like they needed him.
Yeah. Right, and he's just sitting out there July 25th without a job.
Right.
So the rest of the league is kind of spoken on that.
You figured that there were going to be 30 teams, you know, that could take a look at it. He wasn't going to come back here. He wasn't going back to Atlanta.
Absolutely.
But, you know, now he's back in that division. I saw a picture yesterday. He's wearing 11 again. But I think it's not going to amount to much, but it'll be interesting. The one thing that I do want to say, that you brought this up, Derek, of that it became apparent that it just wasn't working. There wasn't a fit here. And the one thing about Mike Vrabel is you can read between the lines with him. When you read between the lines with him, you can tell when he doesn't like somebody or somebody's not vibing with his system and what he wants to do. And that was becoming more and more apparent, you know, as any time Julio Jones was brought up, Vrabel, you know, you could tell was kind of feeling that way. Where I'll credit the Titans, credit John Robinson, is they went for it, they did it, they made the move, didn't work, and they moved on. And they ate it, and they moved on.
Yep, and they still have to give up a fourth-round pick
yep.
in this coming draft. They gave up the second-round pick in the last draft, so there was a price to pay. But
they didn't compound the problem by being a hostage to the contract.
That's a good point.
Yeah. So
you understand and you turn the page.
And so I think that sometimes in John's job, and we've talked about this with the Predators, that David's had to have a couple of those moves recently.
Everybody does, right? Uh-huh. Everybody
comes
got
with
those.
It. And it's admitting it and moving on and not letting it linger. They could have very easily hung on to Julio for this year to make cutting him a little cheaper next year, but they knew that that was going to hurt the team, and so they did. And they went ahead and they moved on, and now he is in Tampa with Tom Brady. One guy that we know is going to have a breakout year, and we've talked about contracts, is Jeffrey Simmons. He talked to the media today, and we will play some of that for you. Coming up next, Chase Willie and D. Mace live at Titans Training Camp today, presented by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, our York Certified Comfort Expert Company. Schedule now at springhillac.com. Back here, Chase Willie and D. Mace live at Titans Training Camp. Chase McCabe, Willie Donick, Derek Mason. I tried to get D. Mace a tryout. John Robinson said he didn't think he'd pass the conditioning test.
I don't want no part of that conditioning test.
Yeah, so I guess that's not going to happen.
We talked about that conditioning test the other day and how hard it is to pass that. Derek gave some good pointers. Chase, if we ever have to do a conditioning test of any kind, and I did back in the day, but it was a good reminder that if you've got to do like six sprints, you don't go all out on the first two sprints because you're going to burn out. You're going to bonk.
Uh-huh.
The fifth and sixth, you got to save some in the tank, because if it's a time trial and you got to make the time in all six, you got to be out there for all six. So if you wipe out, you can be the fastest guy in the first two, but it doesn't matter if you don't pass number five and number six in those 150s.
Yeah, I mean, you have to. One, just come in shape, okay? Just come in and don't
even. That helps a lot.
Yeah, don't even worry about, number five and number six. If you come in shape, you're going to get through it. number five and number six, it's grueling. And for those that don't pass the test, you still got to run them all. And if you don't pass the test, you got to run it again, all six of them again, until you pass the test. That's the unfortunate part about, the conditioning test. But my thing is, just come in shape and you'll be fine.
It's
a necessary evil. That's what it is.
We'll talk to Titans GM John Robinson tomorrow. He'll join us on the show, but good to see him and laugh with him a little bit. Jeffrey Simmons, a guy that, I don't know how much he's going to talk about, John, that is, but a guy that's looking for a new contract, looking for another big year. He caught up with the media, starting with our own Jared Stillman.
Jeff, how you feeling about your contract situation right now?
Not talking about contract. I'm in camp. Simmons. Worrying about football.
Would you like to see something done? If
I am not talking about contract. I'm focused on football. I'm in camp. I'm here. I'm trying to be the best I could be as a football player. Everything does take care of itself.
How'd it feel, Jeff, I guess, to be back out there and camp right away?
I felt great, man. The energies were there today. I'm just happy to be back with my teammates, man. Just be out there on the field, everyone happy, everyone, especially on defense. I'm over there with defense. We're trying to be juiced up. And I think that's the message, man. Come out here and just try to be better each and every day.
Coming into this year a little bit different from the defense last year, kind of knowing what you have, the guys that are back.
Last year don't matter. It's all about what can we contribute to the defense this year. Because if you want to talk about last year, we weren't good enough. We didn't win the Super Bowl. So, it's all about each and every day, especially in camp, because this is where it matters. This is where we build our team, and this is where we build our culture here in camp.
Jeff, how do you feel the plan you had for yourself this offseason worked and prepared you for today?
I'm feeling great. I could tell that just the way I've been moving today, just the way I've been taking care of my body and then what I put in my body, just, everything shows out here and you can feel it. I just feel great. Probably the best I've felt in coming into a training camp. So, just me being consistent with everything and all my, the stuff that I said I was going to do this offseason, I've been feeling great today.
What is the weight difference right now from last year to this year?
I mean, it's totally different. I weighed in yesterday at 309. So, that's one of the things that, I want to keep consistent by staying, right around that or under that. So I think that'll help me and help this team.
What did you play at last year if you're 309 now?
It was up and down. Last year I was probably around, right around 315, probably sometime more than that, just depend. This year, my goal and my, I guess, what I'm supposed to be doing is consistent. That's what I'm focused on, consistent.
With that adjusted weight, do you feel like you're quicker? And what were some of the things you did, you know, during the offseason to that footwork and everything to speed it up?
I mean, that's just the thing, you know. When you light, especially playing my position, you know, you're not feeling, especially like this camp, you know, you always hear guys get camp legs. You know, that's something I feel like that'll help me out, especially later on down the camp. These days in camp, you know, just by conditioning my legs with that type of weight I have on me, it won't tie me down quick, you know. So, but, you know, I did a lot of stuff with footwork-wise, especially with my uncle, you know, I'm up there in Dallas. You know, we did a lot of feet work, ladders, always, you know, keeping my feet moving through the rush and all that. So, it just, like I said, repetition is everything. So
I know strength was a big thing for you, especially like the bull rush. Is there a trade-off?
Nah, because I for one, you know, playing defensive line, you got to have, you know, tools. And, you know, I know what type of rush I am, especially when it comes down to pass rush. I know can't no one stop the bull. So, you know, I'm not going to take that out of my game just because, you know, I picked up another tool or trying to learn another tool.
Titans defensive lineman Jeffrey Simmons after practice today. No one going to stop the bull. I like that. hey, he wasn't having any bull at the beginning of that either.
No, even though, how funny was that?
That was awesome. But, look, Jared had to ask the question, and we count on Jared to go ask the questions like that.
He had to needle him a little
bit. That's all right. You know? That's all right. But what's a here's the positive I take of that. He's here.
Yeah.
He's practicing.
So it's really
he's
a non-story.
Yeah. And he said, you know, I'm not talking about the contract.
I don't know how you feel about it, Derek, but the fact that he's practicing, I think everybody knows this deal is going to get done. They are not going to let him go. They will pay him whatever they have to pay him. It's just a matter of negotiating it and when they do it. But in the meantime, as long as he's playing and he's not letting the contract affect what he does on a daily basis, this is going to get done.
Yeah, it's going to get done. It probably will get done quicker than what the Titans wanted to, because they are an organization that's known for, you know, if you have years on your contract, we're not trying to, you know, redo your contract and –
Do you believe that?
Give you a whole new contract.
Do you believe that they'll get it done?
I think they will try to get it done sometime this year. And I told Willie this.
But it's a matter of when. It's just if.
It's going to get done. It's when. My thing, I think I told you this, Willie. I said they want to get this deal done, or it might have been you, Chase. I said they want to get this deal done because new representation isn't getting old money from old contract, you know? New representation gets new money from new contract. So if what would be, you know, advantageous for me is to, if I'm coming in now representing you after you've already signed your rookie contract and you playing the way you were playing, Willie, I need to get you a new deal so I can get paid.
That's interesting. So you know? a new agent who doesn't have a lot of clients, the earlier you get it done, the quicker you start getting attractive to other clients and more money in your pocket.
Yeah, I don't know if his agent has many clients or not, but I'm just saying.
Well, isn't he kind of a new – well, I guess he just signed on with Simmons. No, I guess we have to look at who else he represents.
But I'm saying he doesn't – whoever his representation is now doesn't get monies from last contract. You only get monies from new contracts, so they want to get a deal done. His agent wants to get the deal done so he can get money in his pocket. And obviously, Jeffrey has earned it. But he's right. Listen, I'm concentrating on football. I'm here. I'm not holding out. I'm going to participate. I'm going to do whatever they ask me to do, and we'll get a deal done, you know, plain and simple.
Yeah, and I honestly think that's the right move. I mean, and I think he could get rewarded for that. The Titans, John Robinson could look at that and say, hey, this is a guy that truly is team first and wants to be here, so let's take care of it. And I think it's more advantageous for the Titans to get it done now than it would be to wait, because if he has a breakout year, even more of a breakout year than he already has, which I think
he's
going
to. The price is
going to go up. Exactly. It's going to drive the price up. I thought it was also interesting he mentioned his weight and that, you know, his weight is down. He's getting quicker. You know, you see his defensive linemen like that as they advance in the league and they're in the league for a while. They try and do that to stay on top of that because, I mean, look, he was effective last year, but how much is a – How effective can a leaner, quicker Jeff Simmons be?
So what is the ideal weight in your mind? Derek, he said he played at 315 last year. He's down around 309 right now.
I think for that position, and I think Aaron Donald not re-energize that position, or he's made it so you got to reevaluate that position in a sense, because Aaron Donald, I don't even think he's 300 pounds. Aaron Donald, I think he's right at the high 290s, okay, or probably right at 300. And typically you want your, you know, D lineman to be bigger than that because those offensive linemen are bigger. But what, you know, Aaron Donald and guys before him has shown, it's not necessarily about how much I weigh. It's about my leverage and my balance and my strength and my lower body. And I think just Big Jeff is starting to figure that out. Like, listen, Aaron Donald is doing this at a high 290. He's not 310, 320. So I can do it at 305, 309.
Yeah, and still be strong enough. Still not be strong. Lose the strength.
I don't have to be 320, you know, or 315 like he said he was last year. I can do what I need to do and be effective and be one of the best, if not the best, at 305, 309.
Jeffrey Simmons in 2020, where I think we all thought, hey, this is a force, right? Yeah. He's getting it. He's a year removed from the ACL. He had 3 sacks in 2020 and 21 hurries. Mm-hmm. Last year, that jumped to 8.5 sacks and 34 hurries. So he was third. This is Football Outsiders. He was third in pressures and first in solo sacks among defenders that line up in the 3 technique. So that is golden, right? When you have a guy that has that kind of pass rush from the middle, that does wonders for the other guys around him. And so can you imagine if he goes up even another, even just a slight notch in terms of strength and speed and improvement? That's scary good.
There's a couple
that goes to your theory, Chase, of pay me now as opposed to pay me later, because the price is only going to go up. The value is only going to go up.
615-737-1025. If you want to weigh on anything Titans on our text or phone line driven by Wilson County Hyundai, .com. Coming up next, a couple of nuggets from Mike Vrabel's press conference that I find interesting. We'll share those with you. Caroline Fenton scheduled to join us as well. As you listen to Chase, Willie, and D-Mace live from Titans training camp, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Back here, Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Chase McCabe, Willie Donick, Derek Mason, with you, Mike Vrabel, just wrapping up his press conference. We may try and play a little bit of that for you later on, but some notes coming out of that. I start with this, and Derek, I don't know how much you read into off-season awards and the, you know, workout stuff, but we made such a big deal about who was here and who wasn't here for off-season training. Mike Vrabel says the off-season awards went to Dylan Radins, Dez Fitzpatrick, Torrey Carter, DeMarcus Walker, Imani Hooker, and Caleb Farley. I don't know how much stock you really put into that, but what that tells me is they were here working.
Yeah, and as a head coach, you know, because they keep track of guys that are here. And, you know, when I was playing, whether it be here or in Baltimore, if you participated in 97% or 95% of the off-season workouts, then you didn't have to run the conditioning test, because they felt, hey, listen, we've seen you every day, so we know what condition you're in, so we're not going to subject you to, you know, the conditioning test. So you know, guys that are here all the time, Caleb Farley needed to be here. He's a guy that's coming off an injury.
Yep.
You know, I'm pretty sure
Fitzpatrick needed to be here.
Yeah, Fitzpatrick
he got cut
needed to
last
be
year.
Exactly. So these guys needed to be here. Treylon Burks, after his minicamp, he needed to be here, and he's been here, and he's shown that, you know, he's gotten adapted to the NFL way of conditioning. So does it, in a big scheme of things, probably not, because, you know, some guys that come every day, they're not even on the team once camp is done, you know. So, but what it does show is that when we do start camp, you're ready to go.
I'll tell you what, it reminds me of way back. This is what I wonder about the actual recognition, like the off-season award. Like you said, in the grand scheme of things, nobody's going to remember who won the off-season. No fan.
Who won 2002's off-season
award? Yeah, like when you were playing for the Titans, I don't know if they gave out that award, but you probably don't remember,
thing.
You know?
Like,
let's see. 2002 was
Kevin Daft.
Matt
I have no idea.
Yeah, but, you know, I think you try. I've always thought that your picks, a guy like Dylan Radins, who when they picked him, they had a role in mind for him. Mm-hmm. Same thing with Caleb Farley, obviously. Fitzpatrick to a lesser degree, but still, you know, a guy that they cut. They delivered a statement to him last year. You're not ready to play in this league. He had to work his way back to just get back on the team, let alone be in the plans. But I've always felt like the higher you are picked, the more invested they are in you.
Sure, of
course. And the more they're looking at you. That like they're going to give you chances to win the offseason award. They're going to be watching you closely. Like when I was with the Blue Jays in the minors, we always called it the NP club. Guys like me. The non-prospect club, right? there was a group of us, right, that always would observe, right, a 25th round pick like me. They weren't watching me as closely, right? I had to jump out at them. Whereas the first round pick, the second round pick, the guys that they invested $250,000 in or $1 million, as soon as that person made a good play in spring training. Look at that. How about that? He's really getting bigger and stronger. Man, he's made some progress. You know, I do the same thing. You're like, eh. Yeah. I didn't see
that. That's Willie Donick.
Yeah. I'll be like, hey, did you see that over here? Did you see what I just did? That was a double up the gap, right? You didn't like that swing right there? They want the investment, the guys that they've invested in, drafted in, to do what? They're going to give them chances to succeed. So what do we read into that? I don't know, but – I mean, it's a cause for optimism, right? It means that they were doing what, like you were saying, they needed to be here.
They
shouldn't be given too much of an award for just doing what they were supposed to do.
Anytime the head coach can make a positive comment about Dylan Radins, Des Fitzpatrick, and Caleb Farley, like that's going to catch my attention. And winning offseason awards, that's a positive comment. And you know,
it's just building blocks. You build one on top of the other, and you know, as a player, about yourself going into camp.
Yeah. And I noticed Farley out here today. You know, when we got here, he was out there. That's good. He's not on the PUP list. Here's another thing that is positive when it comes to injury. Vrabel also said, everything the doctors have said about wide receiver Robert Woods' recovery is, quote, favorable. He practiced without the knee brace today.
I noticed that some of those early videos, when the early birds who get here right at the beginning and you're allowed to video, they showed him without the knee brace. Now, I did have a torn ACL, and that is something that first time you take the knee brace off is, you know, you got to feel comfortable running around. And different guys have different philosophies. I've seen, for example, some college teams, I don't think they do it anymore, but back in the day, you remember offensive linemen used to wear, even if they never hurt their knee, they would have those guys wear those knee braces. But I think some things have evolved there, but I think that's probably a confidence thing.
Oh, at Michigan State, even the receivers had to wear them my freshman year.
Yeah. Really?
Even if you didn't have a knee injury, you had to wear that knee brace. But we retrofitted them. But you got to understand, it was 1993, and ACLs was really the big thing. So they wanted to make sure, you know, they did exactly what they needed to do, especially during camp, so you wouldn't get hurt. But we retrofitted them, and, you know, they were there, but didn't feel like they were there half the time. But then it got to a point where, you know, after your freshman season, sophomore season, you start to slowly come out of them. You start putting on long pants so the coaches can't see if you got on your knee brace. So, you know.
What do you guys think of this text coming from Gator Tim on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com? We were talking about Jeffrey Simmons. He says Aaron Donald is 6'1", 285. Simmons is 6'5". He would be ineffective under 300 pounds.
I guess the bigger the frame, you generally – think you're going to be carrying more weight. I didn't think about that. I think it's a fair point, but I think the principle that you're saying, Derek, is still the same. It's not about necessarily gaining more weight or losing more weight. It's what's the right weight to have the maximum strength and agility. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's how do I? That's why these you know, these guys now, they work. You know, back in the day, you never seen a big guy work footwork. Because to them, it's like, I'm not a receiver. I'm not a running back. Why do I need to work cone drills and ladder drills? That's not what I do. I'm in the trenches. I just need to lift a bunch of weights and squat. Well, now it's all about having that base. They look at it more so like a wrestler. you know, having that base, you know, in wrestling, it's not necessarily the strongest guy is going to win. Who has the best technique? Who has the best base? Who has the strongest lower body, you know, to get you in a position? Rugby is sort of the same way. So these guys are now figuring it out. Like, I don't have to be – I don't have to put all this strain on my bones, in my organs to be this heavy to think I'm – that's the only way I'm going to be effective. Well, I can drop some weight and still be effective, but have it in the right places.
You know what I think about when you say that? They used to say that a lot about Mark Stepanski. Remember him?
Yeah, Stepanski. And he was small.
He was a smaller center. He played for Dallas for a lot of those great teams. And then he came to the Tennessee Oilers. Uh-huh. And I don't think he actually was still on. No, he never played for the, quote, Titans. He was on the Tennessee Oilers.
He came here that first – I think he was here that first year. And possibly that second year, but after that, no. When we changed the name, he was already gone.
Right, but I remember seeing him. This was our first year in this town covering an NFL team. So that's Mark Stepanski from those great Dallas. He's not a real big guy, but that's what they used to say. He was the best at the leverage. Mm-hmm. He was really good at what you were talking about.
I just need to get leverage. That's
all. That's all he needed to do. And Jeff Van Note, back in the day, he was a great lineman for the Falcons that was doing the games. Back then, he would always make that point in watching Stepanski. You guys had some really good offensive linemen veterans on those first couple of teams.
Well, if you look at guys, I mean, even the late, great Reggie White, I know he was a big guy, but it was a lot of his base and his power and his legs and his arm. Because there's no way that, you know, a 300 pounds should be able to throw a 350 guy with one arm. And Reggie White was able to do it. Why? Because of his strength and his base. You know, he always had good feet placement or foot placement. And that's what Jeffrey Simmons is talking about, working ladders, cone drills, foot placement, doing these extra things that necessarily, you know, it may not look like, you know, it will work. But once I get in the game and I start, you know, making those things that I work with in practice start materializing in the game, I mean, then you see. This is why these guys are great and these guys are good, okay?
Mike Vrabel saying there was a lot of energy and urgency in day one of practice, which is obviously what you want to see. So good things there coming from the head coach. Also, he's talked a lot about Treylon Burks. So coming up next, you will hear from rookie wide receiver Treylon Burks as he met with the media earlier today. We are live at Titans training camp here at St. Thomas Sports Park, and all of our training camp coverage is presented by USA Hemp Store and Parman Energy, your one-stop shop for your one-stop petroleum solution. Chase Willie and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Back here at Titans training camp, Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Coming up at 12:30, we're going to need class participation. But you're going to have the opportunity to ask D-Mace anything you want, within reason, about Titans. And the best question will win tickets to see Elton John. But you must participate. You must bring the passion, as Terry Crisp likes to say, and ask D-Mace some questions. Something that we're going to do a lot more of here on Chase, Willie, and D-Mace during this football season. Treylon Burks, somebody that has questions, and we've talked a lot about during the offseason. Mm-hmm. He talked to the media earlier today.
Pretty good difference. Really with my, you know, asthma and my breathing, just being able to, you know, handle it a lot better. And, you know, just being out here with the team just makes it even more better.
What are some things you did to handle the asthma better?
Conditioning, running, you know, putting myself in situations where I knew that my asthma would flare up, and just being able to push through it and, you know, just be dominant.
Did you affect you a little bit more here? Has the asthma, like, gone away seasonally? Is that, like, more of a summer thing and the football season is better?
Honestly, you know, I just, you know, condition and keep conditioning until, you know, I don't feel it no more. And, you know, just making sure that I'm taking my inhaler before practice, after practice, just staying on top of everything.
Should you have done more of that stuff before you?
Say it again.
Should you have done more of that stuff before you showed up here the first time?
I would say yeah. Yeah, you know, that's just being accountable, you know, and I should have took a better, you know, attack on that. And, you know, now that I am, you know, you can tell a big difference.
Did the asthma affect you more here trailing than it did in college? Because it didn't seem to be a
issue. I would say my freshman and sophomore year, you know, it was, you know, it kind of messed with me a little bit. But once I got to my junior year, I was so much more acclimated into the system and knowing my role and, you know, wanting to be better at my position, and I just attacked it.
How important was it just for you, for your own peace of mind and comfortability standpoint, was to come out today and have a good showing on day one, given what you've been going through over the past few months?
Honestly, I'm not going to lie. I really wasn't thinking like that. You know, I was just thinking go out there, practice like a pro, be a pro, and just be a part of the team and, you know, just play my role like Coach Vrabel says every day. And I'll just show up and, you know, gain that respect from Ryan and also everybody else on the team, all the vets, and, you know, just let them know that, you know, I'm not here just to, you know, make money. I'm here to win the championship.
Did you feel like it was a good
one today? That first catch on the side?
Say it one more time.
Talk us through that first catch at the side.
honestly, you know, I just had a fade ball and just went and made a play for Ryan just to, you know, gain that respect and also just let him know that, you know, I'm going to always be there when he needs something.
How's the playbook coming for you, Trim?
Like with Coach Vrabel in the spring about your health and trying to get back in shape?
Honestly, he was just telling me to just take it one day at a time. Everything's going to take care of itself. And, you know, don't harp on myself too much because, you know, it happens to the best of, you know, the best people. And, you know, just attack it day by day and everything's going to be all right.
How much is it on your
You know, I was concerned at one point just because, you know, I couldn't even, you know, go, you know, and it was getting to me. And then, you know, he came and talked to me and just told me, don't worry about it. Just keep attacking it every day. And then,
were you having conversations with Tannehill as well? Because he's a guy that builds trust. He builds chemistry early on. And that's something he's made clear.
Correct. I would just say during this offseason, you know, we were throwing, you know, just making connections, just letting them know, him telling me where I need to be in certain routes and just going up and make plays.
All the reps you took were with Dez and not kind of what we would assume on the first team where Nick is. How bad do you want to be in, on that first team with Robert, with Derek, with the rest of the starting group?
You know, man, I'm just playing my role. You know, it doesn't matter where I'm at. I'm just going to attack every opportunity that I get, and I'm going to attack it to the best of my ability.
How did you feel overall about your first game, Trey?
You know, there's still things that I can improve on, and just being there and, you know, improve just to make our team better is what I'm going to do.
That's what playbook they're coming for you, Traylon.
Really good. Yes, sir, really good.
There you go, Traylon Burks, Titans wide receiver, talking to the media. I want to start with the second to last question, the one that Jared asked.
Uh-huh.
He gave the humble player, I'm just here, you know, doing my role, doing my thing. I want to hear him go, hell yeah, I want to be on the first team. Like I mean, I know you don't say that, but if he did, like, I would have been okay with it because I know he, that's in his mind, he's thinking that. Like, I'm here to compete, to win a starting job, to be a factor for this team. And you could hear the hesitation there. Like, he wanted to say it, but he knew that, or he felt like he kind of had to give you the humble answer. Derek, like, what's your thought on that?
I mean, everybody in this building knows that they want him to be the one eventually, or they eventually want him to be in that starting rotation. So he doesn't have to come out and say it. It's evident. They drafted me in the first round. You know, they traded away, you know, the number one receiver and then drafted me. So, you know, it's almost as if it's like one of those deals where, okay, I know the building expects me to be the one or be in a starting rotation. I don't need to say it. All I need to do is work hard and prove to them that the pick was right and that I'm the guy that could eventually be the number one guy.
And, Chase, I would add that if that question were being asked on August 27th, it might have a little more impact if he was still running on the second team by then. But on July 27th, I think it's only right that you start as a rookie and you work your way up, and hopefully it doesn't take that long because we're really enthusiastic. You know, we're ready. We've been waiting for this all summer, but we know how this works, right? We got a month of this. We got weeks of going through the same questions that we're hashing out. We've been hashing out since the end of the OTAs. So a lot of this will shake out naturally. So I think his answer was the appropriate answer this point. I mean, and it really doesn't matter. We're not even going to remember what he said in a moment.
No, but
I think here's an example. Kevin Dyson got drafted, I think he was somewhere around that same range that Traylon was in the teens. And he didn't start day one as the number one guy or the starter.
He wasn't even active for
some
of those
games. But he ended up being the number one guy. You know, eventually he ended up being a starter. So whether it's the first day of camp or, you know, the third or fourth game into the season, as long as he becomes the starter and the number one guy eventually, that's all they care about.
I was also I like a guy that takes ownership of things. And, you know, Paul Kaharsky asked him about, do you think there's some things you could have done differently when it came to conditioning and stuff like that? And he was very quick to say yes. And it's all about accountability. And you can sit here and go, okay, well, that's what you're supposed to say. But the tone of his voice made me feel like, no, he really was being accountable for that. And I like that a lot. That shows me the character of the player that they've drafted. And everything I've heard to this point makes me feel really good about the character of Traylon Burks.
And we should say, he showed up. I mean, today in the first practice, he was catching some passes.
He
was very, very noticeable out there, which is a great sign.
I know
it
him,
start to finish.
Racy McMath.
Yeah.
Those two.
But Derek, he answered. I think he was ready for the questions that all of us were asking in the summer when all that stuff was happening. And so that shows me, A, he was smart enough to know those questions were coming and he was ready to answer them. But B, I think he was very confident that he had addressed why he wasn't able to get through the practices. And he feels a lot better about it now. To me, he just exuded a lot of confidence there because he was willing to answer those questions.
Well, I mean, it's better to put it out there. And so you don't have people speculating and making up their own story. So I get to control the narrative. At the beginning, he wasn't able to control the narrative.
Right,
it wasn't until the position coach said, hey, listen, this kid has asthma, okay? This is what it's about, all right? So now that everybody know, we can control the narrative with Traylon Burks, not everyone making up a story what they think it is.
Yeah, and I think that's important. And Vrabel is doing the same thing. Vrabel has said some nice things about him. You can tell that Vrabel is like I said earlier about Julio Jones. You knew that Vrabel was not on. They weren't on the same page. I feel like they are on the same page. Our Traylon Burks and Mike Vrabel as the wind picks up a little bit here at training camp, and that's important. I mean, this is a guy that, whether, as we've said, whether he likes it or anyone likes it or not, he is replacing A.J. Brown.
Yes.
That's what it is.
And they are going to try to control that narrative as much as they can. But I think they're going to be calculated on how they answer some questions. Like when Bud Dupree quickly deflected away talk about last year. I think that's a team-wide thing. And I think a team-wide thing is going to be to try not to overhype Traylon Burks as much as they can, but just take it day by day. You heard Mike Vrabel say yesterday, we're confident that he's addressed some of the things that needed to be addressed from the OTAs, but I'm not going to sit here and predict whether a guy's going to be on the field every day for practice, which we just don't know. But everybody, you can't avoid the fact that everybody is going to be having him under the microscope every day. That's just part of the story here.
Hey, listen. They traded away the number one. They drafted you. Y'all always will be compared.
He's going to be under the mic.
Yeah, that's just the way it is.
Ryan Tannehill addressing the media right now. First few questions have been about Traylon Burks. He says, if Traylon Burks can make plays down the field consistently like he did in 7-on-7 today, it will give him confidence to trust Burks and throw the ball his way. It's been fun having him back out there and gives a lot of confidence.
Today is Ryan Tannehill's 34th birthday.
Happy
34
birthday.
Years
happy
old.
Happy birthday, Ryan.
Happy birthday to Ryan Tannehill. Coming up next, we will continue to talk about some things that the Titans quarterback is saying right now to the media. We'll hear a little bit of that as well. Coming up at 12:30, ask D-Mace for a chance to win Elton John tickets. It's Chase, Willie, and D-Mace live at Titans training camp, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.